Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to thank you all for coming back out. This is Babylon Saga. I go by the name of Yin. That's Yahweh Supreme, in case you didn't know. I'd like to take you through the experience of my office. You know, Babylon is like that land that we're gonna leave one day. Some of us gonna get promoted, some gonna be fired. Everybody gonna be happy. Come on, check it.
Well, let me reintroduce you to this lion straight from Judah. One of the 12 tribes, all gather, all rise as we gather around the water coolers as we discuss our exodus and all the things that Egypt's still doing to us. Dad Jacob still say it's the land of the beautiful. Been here over 20 years, no knowledge for me to grow. This harsh fools, the kids crying. And every time I look in the paper, all I see is Babylon keep some downsizing. Man, I found a new gig, new strategy. Sure to have all my co-workers getting mad at me. Found wisdom, knowledge, and integrity. Try to get my people out, but all they do is laugh at me. They just blew lamb, getting led to the slaughter while the wicked stay hungry, stay placing they orders. Gotta leave the job before it sets on fire, cause we got weed quiet, then be my desire. So, my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see.
They don't really know about it.
It's the land of idolatry, wickedness and queers. In 2 weeks, you notice that I ain't here. They try to convince me and say that the job gets better, whatever. My king provides for me through any endeavors. I took my stony heart and exchanged it for meatless. So everybody try to take one kindness for weakness. They feel convoying, saying you ain't gonna do that. Give him a couple months and he'll be right back. But I don't argue with no fool, keep my demeanor strictly cool. Maybe you'll understand if you just follow by the rules. It's a boring nation, the reason you stuck in the same station. So praise the mighty Yah, watch your wicked start decaying. But it's coming from me, so you know they gon' ignore it. It doesn't matter what day, they'll meet my applause. Because my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see.
They don't really know about Yah.
New cars, new frames, no belt, home watch and chain. But
they don't really know about Yah.
Who's this, who's that, what's that, silk crack, who raps? But
they don't really know about Yah.
My hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see.
They don't really know about Yah.
Come on, man. Okay, what you say, man?
One, there for justice, for leading your press. Call on God, for the fatherless, but it shall be blessed.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'm strong and bold, don't give up. And I'm all I can say. The righteous fall, don't let up. Every time, don't get up. And I'm all I can say.
Like the sweep of rain, even no food, just pain. With Yah's name, I exclaim, be my brethren wisdom. Yah, when he will do the same, shame and calamity on my family, trapped in captivity. Many go holding in calico, never know my light glow till I step through them two doors. Church, cause thou just lose gold. My eyes, the color of onyx, Yah's message came to me as
necklace, you telephonically alerting me. He only scrolls of his words to me. Now I'm a gift to those so-called whose spirit is froze. The knowledge of how they conquer their foes. Enemies speak hatred itself. Something dangerous like this crack is wealth. Let's flee Babylon and lay down.
Creator of heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, I say hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before another day, another night, to bring to you His great and exalted words. Name and array Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 9075 Street, bringing to nothing but the truth. And yet it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained to tell the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who's this Yah? Well, Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, that is there and is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, Israel. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's lawgiver. He's our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yah is the Savior of the world. Thank the Most High Yah for once again allowing us to bring to you words for we that we will take His words and put it in our mouth. Well, we are His servants, His chosen. His lighted ones are the children that He made for His glory. Hallelujah. Tonight we start with the 12 tribes of Israel. So that everyone can understand the significance, the importance, the essential nature of the 12 tribes. This is where our eyes must be, on the 12 tribes of Israel. And by the time we're finished, we're going to show you how important these 12 tribes are, what they represent, what they mean, and their very purpose, not just collectively, but we will also show you what they mean individually, each tribe. The reason why the Most High had 12, 12 sons that he will use to represent him. Represent something entirely different. But collectively, they represent unity. And we're going to deal with this. So we're on our third part of dealing with the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? Many of our people, for the most part, whether they know who they are or don't. Many of them that care about the various things happening around the world as well as here in the United States will have their eyes glued. What is the State of the Union? The State of the Union is the very state of how the 50 states of the United States of America are prospering. What has been done under this administration and what he has planned to do. Now, what has he done? And you can see how this has a lot to do with our people. Well, let's talk about a little bit about what he's done over the course of a year. Close confidants have called treachery by holding private meetings, meetings that don't even supposed to be private. These meetings supposed to have been meetings that you're supposed to have a record of. And these meetings were with official government entities, and particularly the Russians. And not only they've been holding these meetings with various people in this administration and organization, these meetings happened even before he became president. Not only they never had records of the meetings, but they said the meetings never even took place. And they had no knowledge of any such meetings. But come to find out, not only were meetings taking place, multiple meetings taking place, several, to the extent it would be impossible to forget these meetings. Almost sworn oath that they had no such meetings, and then came back and admitted that they had these meetings. Now, according to the laws of the United States of America and according to Webster Dictionary as well as other dictionaries, this is called a lie. And in the legal term, it's called perjury. Is all of his heads that is responsible to investigate these meetings, these perjuries, these lies, and the whole nature of all these things. Many of them have been fired or resigned. The highest position in land, which is the President of the United States of America, there is no higher position in this land. He has came out and said the very heads of all the law enforcement agencies, the FBI and the Department of Justice, was they the head. The buck stops with them. They over all the police. They over all state and federal governments. Even on the military. The laws. What this president has said is that they are corrupt. And they're not to be trusted. And he and his counterparts are working hard to discredit and bring down the top law enforcement agencies. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because it seems like irony. Here it is. Blacks in this country have been protesting because of police brutality. They have been protesting because of injustices from Department of Justice, the justice system. As a matter of fact, blacks call the justice system just us, because we seem to be the only ones that don't have justice, but it seemed like we're the only ones, or just us, getting the full extent of the power of the law against us. And we do just a little. But the wrath is great. All the man had to do was kneel, personal protest. And the only reason he kneeled, he wasn't even trying to kneel. He was just going to sit down on his seat, and nobody had to see him. But the only reason he kneeled is because somebody in the military instructed him it would be more respectful if he kneeled, because this is what we do for our fallen soldiers. And since he was under the belief that many in our community was fallen soldiers, he kneeled. And now he's out of a job. And now he's losing millions, protests. But we had a president of the United States of America can discredit the whole law enforcement apparatus. But did they forget? Every time we said something about the police and their known injustices, when the Justice Department went in to look at the police departments, they found so many crimes against our community, it was unbelievable. Some of them, they had to just shut down some of these cities because it was that bad. But what happens to us, it's okay. But what happens with them we see a whole different type of measurement. This is nothing new. I want you to see how 12 tribes of Israel have always been treated when they're in other people's lands. Even though these people, our people, have been the best citizens of the land. In other words, when they need our votes, we come out. Look what happened in Alabama. And not just Alabama. If you look at all over the United States, United States gets their glory from the backs of our people. And who are our people? The children of Israel, the 12 tribes, that there's nothing new under the sun. Show you how we are treated when we are in other people's lands. And I'm going to show you where your eyes really need to be. First place I want you to see is in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. In the book of Exodus, the first chapter, watch what it says. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Yaakov, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, and you're going to see it would say Joseph, but he was already there in Egypt because Joseph is Benjamin's big brother. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Yaakov were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died. And all his brethren. And all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful. Increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them, not just the land of Goshen, but Egypt, all over Egypt, there were Israelites. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, who not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now you would think, since you didn't know Joseph and you didn't know the children of Israel, it seemed as though the only thing that a wise man would do at that point is just do a little research. Get a little history lesson on who he was. Do some homework. But not so with the wicked. That's not how they do things. It's just like our people in this land. They know many of our people invented the various things that they now not only making billions and dollars off of, but this is how they became the most powerful nation in the world. You don't become the most powerful nation in the world and you are the smallest and the last nation that even came on the scene. No, you have to have history. And this people didn't have history. But yet they rose above everybody. And how do you think they did it? Well, they were standing on somebody's back. And the back is part of the house of Israel. But I'm going to show specifically who back that was. Then it says, come on, let us deal wisely with him. Lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there fall about any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. And it never happened before. So why did they think it was going to happen? Again, we've been in the land for hundreds of years at this point. They did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. In other words, they put over a bunch of supervisors and bosses that will work them to death. And they just built and built and built and worked and worked and worked. Of course, our people see that as a good thing. Put us to work. We need jobs. We need insurance. We need higher wages. Medical insurance, dental insurance. Put us to work. But free people, they don't want to work for other people like slaves. A free people controls their own destiny. And this here became the demise of our people by working for other people. 12 verse. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Because really, they didn't know how strong of people we are. We don't even know how strong of people we are. If we knew we were strong, we would have been got together and put our resources together and rose together and got together real tight. See, when you're real tight, it's like a closed fist. But you're not tight, it's like an open hand. Now, which one would you want somebody to hit you with? A closed hand or open hand? And watch what it says. And Egyptians, verse again, but the more they afflicted, then the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Not because the children, they weren't doing nothing. It wasn't like they were stealing and pillaging the place. They weren't robbing nobody. None of these things were happening. No laws were being broken. They were just multiplying. And this in of itself caused them grief. As I stated before, there's nothing new under the sun. And it seems as though our community be doing fine. And next thing you know, we got other people coming in our community talking about they women, like Emmett Till. And you know what happened to him. Oh, we whistled at somebody. Or we looked at somebody. That's all it takes. And then said Emmett Till said something to her, and did something to her. She said it wasn't even the truth. Many years later. Just like many of all the people that have done something to us just to spark in our community. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives better with bondage, hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service when they made them serve was with rigor. And here it is, our people being made to serve with rigor, but instead of us being mad and sad at other people, we be mad and sad at one another. One another. We stab each other in the back, not realizing that this playbook that's being played today is nothing new at all. This is what happens to us when we are in other people's land. And when we are in other people's land, that's not the time to divide. That's the time to stick together. Watch what it says. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And here it is, our women as nurses today, saving our sons. The community is not saving our sons. The parents not saving our sons. The grandparents are not saving our sons. Our sons is it's been genocide. It's being raised against our sons. And it's going to get worse. But the midwives feared Elohim, and that's what we're looking for, the fear Elohim. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? Because they will go to death to do whatever it takes. And all they want to do is stop us from multiplying. Now can you see why all these abortion clinics are in our community? Do you see why most? See, if our women had the insurance that other people had, they might make a different decision. But they made sure they didn't have that. They made sure they had the lowest insurance in the world that all they can do is go to the dentist so that they can put poison in their mouth, fluoride, and other poisonous stuff, insurance, to feed the kids, our sons and daughters, the worst food. They had enough insurance just to have operations and like hysterectomies. Of course, abortions. And get right people over our people counseling them, other women. And you think we're looking out for you. And it's women that's telling you you had a right to kill your unborn baby. That's what other women telling you. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. And that's what they don't like. They don't like our lively babies. So therefore, when it's time to go to school, because our children are so lively, they want to give them medicine. They want to stop them from being lively. They would rather for them to be a zombie just as long as they obey them and pay attention to them. They don't care if the medicine make you feel like you're dying, if the medicine gives you all kind of skin problems and liver problems. They don't care about that. All they care about are you behaving in the manner they desire. And they want you to be quiet. They want you to be a zombie. And they just want you to do what they say. Don't matter if you learn or not. You can't learn anyway according to them. Therefore, Elohim dealt well with the wise. And the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass because I fear Elohim that he made them houses. But watch what Pharaoh would do. 22nd verse. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river. And every daughter, ye shall save alive. Now, here it is. We got a lot of sisters that's warring with our brothers. And they just want to see that table. Warring with our brothers. Don't realize that while you're warring with the men of thy people who are the leaders, what woman want to be at a table full of men anyway? This is how women talk today. Why ain't women at the table? What you want to be at a table full of men for? Does that make sense to you? It only makes sense to a slave people. That's all that makes sense to. What are free people? Women don't want to be at no table full of hard-ankled men. It don't even make sense. This is how backward we have become. Our voice needs to be heard. For what? Why you trying to get your voice heard? Pharaoh is trying to throw a bunch of men in the river. And saving you alive, because he don't want to hear you, and he's not going to hear you. But the men do something about our Pharaoh, who threatens Pharaoh with his existence. He's being thrown in the river. And what can you do about it? Nothing at all. And this is what's going on today. Because there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. in every land that our people have found themselves in, every land, all it takes is a little bit. And the various policies, the various direction, all is altered because of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm serious. After all the examples that the scriptures have laid out for us, why can't we see that? You would think by now we'll be a wise people. Why would our women be fighting with an Israelite man? Well, they are the leaders. And why would the Israelite man be fighting with the women? Especially in captivity, when all of us, this is the place where we're supposed to be sticking together. This division take place. Let me show you this. Watch this. All I have to do is strike fear in you. The book of Esther. Show you how this thing happens. Now, what did our people do other than multiply greatly? Let me tell you what they did. Nothing. Nothing. Serve the Most High. Yes, our people serve the Most High in Egypt. Why do you think when they all came out, they were circumcised? Because they served the Most High. In the book of Esther, and watch what this says. Show you what happens when we are in other people's lands. It don't take much. Stop market the crash. No. Look at Israel. Watch what happened in the book of Esther to show you what I'm talking about. And we're going to read Esther, the third chapter. Once again, another time. Where a people was in another man's land in Babylon. Of course, if you don't know the story of Esther, parents has passed. She was raised by someone else. End up becoming queen. Now she's an Israelite in another man's land, and she became queen. That in of itself is gigantic. And the only way such a thing can happen is in a place called Babylon, like today. But it's okay that foreigners, they make the allies with all kind of foreigners around earth. Watch what happens. Esther, the third chapter, and this is what it says, the first verse. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, set his seat above all the princes that were with him, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see what Mordecai's matters were stand, for he had told them that he was a Yehudite. Now here it is. According to our law, we don't supposed to bow and reverence nobody and prostrate to nobody. Why? Because we're Yehudanites. We're Israelites. That's against our law. Whether we in Jerusalem, Israel, or captivity, this is the law. It's the commandment. And we got people talking about we don't have to worry about the law until we get home. Fifth verse. Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence. It was Haman full of wrath. Now, what was Mordecai doing? Well, he was doing the law. And he explained who he was. He meant no disrespect, but he was a law keeper. He was a commandment keeper. And he thought going to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Yehudanites that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month, to 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, now watch what this says. I just want you to see this. There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. In other words, because word done went around, man, they don't keep none of the king's laws. They don't bow, they don't reverence, they don't eat the food, they keep the Sabbath. They wear these funny fringes. They wear beards. These people got locks. These people, they don't keep none of the king's law. Watch what it says. There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. From all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand. He gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Yehudanite's enemy. Little did the king know, this is how you know the kings don't know everything. He was married to an Israelite, and her name was Esther. That was her heathen name. But her Hebrew name was Hadassah. Watch what it says. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee. People also do with them as it seemeth good to thee. King's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And that was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people, of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post and to all the provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Yehudites, both young and old, even upon the 13th of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And I may add, the so-called Jewish people today, they have, if you look at their calendar, they have various months that's named just like the Babylonian months that we're reading right here. And they have the month of Adar as the 12th month, as the scriptures are saying. And then they did something real slick that our people don't have no idea that they did. They got Adar 2. What's Adar 2? Adar the second. What's Adar second? In other words, they added another Adar for the 13th month. Well, only one Adar in the scriptures. And this one Adar is the 12th month. And you're not going to read no month after that. Not in the scriptures. And these other funny little books, you're going to read certain things. And these historians, but not in the scriptures. And watch what it says. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, sent by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. They was confused. They didn't know what happened. What was going on? Well, let me tell you what was going on. Just like in Egypt, the king talked to his wise men, and they seen one thing. The only thing that they thought they can do to stop a people from multiplying and getting high is to kill the men. That was an evil. Now here we are in Babylon. In Babylon, all because of man kept the law. What is the law? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities upon the fathers unto the third, fourth generation of them that hate, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And our people were commandment keepers, and they were not about to bow in reverence. No image, period, except the Most High. In the fourth chapter, what Mordecai did once he got news of this writing, in the book of Esther, the fourth chapter, the very first verse. Watch what this says so you can see what our people did in a time of trouble. Now, this is different than what our people do today. This is not what you see from our people today. Now, our people act like they know history, and they can tell you about all kind of history, but they can't tell you about the history of their own people. Let me show you the history of our people and what they do consistently throughout all the scriptures. After the fourth, after the first verse, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai ran his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry. He came even before the king's gate. None might, no might, enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Yehudanites, fasting, weeping, wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And here it is. I went around the United States personally in 2015, and I told our people that trouble is determined upon people as well as the earth. And the Creator is returning with his anger. And I went and I appeared in various programs telling our people the same thing, visiting 7 different cities for 1 whole year. And I asked our people, let us come together and let us put on sackcloth and ashes and cry bodily to the Most High. And let's put aside these differences and let us ask the Almighty to make the crooked things straight. But let us come and gather ourselves together. And this is what we did in 2016. But through the whole time, you would think I was the son-in-law of Lot. When Lot went through Sodom and Gomorrah and told them that they about to destroy the city, and all his sons-in-law did was mocked him. And this is what I got. A lot of mocking, a lot of excuses. And then what's so strange about this mocking and confusing, I became perplexed. After we did it, a year later, you got some other people talking about they want to do the same thing. And I'm thinking, you're the same people I came first. And it was perplexing. But this is the history of our people. And this is what they do in a time of trouble. Not riot, not march, not vote. But they cry mightily unto the Most High. They fast. They put on sackcloth and ashes. We got other Israelites, they don't see no reason to put on sackcloth and ashes. And definitely don't see no reason to fast. This is the history of our people. And this is what happens when we fight in other people's lands. Furthermore, let us read some more. Let us go to the book of Daniel. The police is after, the FBI is after one of us. We supposed to comply with the law. We don't supposed to say nothing. But here it is. the FBI, the Department of Justice, and all of them after the President of the United States. And he's fine people. They're resigning because he's talking about them like a dog. Here's a man that not only was breaking laws before he became president and was busted for doing so, but after he became president, still breaking laws. Busted, groping women. I thought if you grope a woman, and it's either called assault or sexual harassment. And most people go through sexual harassment, they typically don't have a job still. He still got his. They caught this coming out of his own mouth. This wasn't like no hearsay or no rumor monger or no gossip. This is what he said. He called it locker room talk. He wasn't even in the locker room talking like this. This man went on and bragged about being in the closed rooms full of women naked because they get ready for a beauty pageant. And he just walks in. Why? Because he runs the pageant. But that don't give you the right to just treat women any kind of way. And he did. And he broke all the laws of this so-called great land. Imagine if we did that. You see, we can do much less. And you see what happens to us. In the book of Daniel, all it takes us to rise up and to do anything that seems like we some type of protester. Now, only protesters I met was the Protestants that protested against the Catholic Church. We're commandment keepers. Keep the law. Watch what it says in the book of Daniel, the first chapter. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. In other words, not personal. Nor with wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This was his request. He's a commandment keeper. He keep the law. Elohim had brought Daniel to favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my master king. I have appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces as liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. So the prince of the eunuchs, he became endanger Daniel and his brothers. And if it wasn't the fact that the Most High was with them, this could have been a great matter once again for the children of Israel, and more specifically the Judahites. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give posts to eat and water to drink, and let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter. They proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them posts. So the Almighty was with them because they was with him. And mind you, they also are in captivity. And let me show you some of the other tests that will happen. And make no mistake about it. There's nothing new under the sun. These same tests will take place. Don't think because you see other people out protesting, they can. Don't think because you see other people petitioning the government to do such and such because they can. But when you see Israel rise up, then you're going to see a whole nother thing. And our demise is not going to come as a result of what other people do and how other people think and how other people exercise their rights. Donald Trump exercising his. Has he been arrested? No. Has he been charged? No. Has he committed crimes? A whole bunch of them. But watch what happens when we exercise our Elohimly right in the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter. Going to start reading at the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse, and this is what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together. Dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now you see all the people that came together, princes and governors and captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs. What kind of position are these? Well, these same positions we have in Babylon today. These governors, sheriffs, and captains, and generals, and officers, and mayors, and you think they working on behalf of the people? No. They are sworn in to uphold the very laws of the United States of America. This is their first priority. They're not sworn in to do the will of the people and the bidding of the people. That's just a lie. They sworn in to uphold the laws of the land. And watch what happens in doing so. Fourth verse. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music because they always going to play music. Why you think every time they want you to stop and salute the flag, they got to play music first? Because this is what Babylon do. You fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship it for the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And see, some of our people, y'all just ain't been challenged. Y'all just ain't been tested. Make no mistake about it. Will and you are. And watch what it says. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sabbath, pottery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Yehudanites. Why do it seem like our people, every time they in another people's land, they got to refuse to do what the Pharaoh, what the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what the top man has sealed the law with? Why do it seem we always have to buck the system? Well, because we can't commandment keepers. We're supposed to keep the law. The only people, our people, talking about not keeping the law and not showing themselves to be commandment keepers, they just rebellious. And Yah has something for the rebellious. But everybody that showed they were law keepers and commandment keepers, they were always blessed. And watch what it says. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, the harp, the sabbath, the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. There are certain Yehudanites, whom thou hast set over the heads of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy idols, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my idols, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sabbath, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that Elohim that shall deliver you out of my hands? And the king's such a fool, because the scriptures say, a fool say in his heart that there is no Elohim. He's such a fool. The only reason they had possessions that they had is because he promoted them that, because they the ones interpreted the dream that he had to make the image. See how foolish, you're a fool, and you can't even get out the foolishness because you're a fool. And here it is, the king just showed himself a fool. He just blessed them, but really didn't know what he was doing. 16 verse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Now let me show you a true Israelite and true Israelites, and spirit of true Israelites. Not these people who call themselves Israelites, serve the Most High all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. These Israelites, the Almighty called the sons of Belial, not his sons." And if you don't know what a son of Belial is, you might want to do some research in the scriptures who a son of Belial is. It's an Israelite that refused to serve the Most High. Even though all through the scriptures, there's not one place, not one scripture, not one book that endorses an Israelite not to keep commandment, not to keep a law, not to keep a statute of judgment. It don't exist. And watch what it says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Here they are. They're talking to the king now. Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this matter. We don't even have to be careful. We don't have to watch our words. We don't have to mince our words. We don't have to buck dance or nothing. If it be so, our Elohim who we serve is able to deliver us from burning fiery furnace. Make no mistake about it. All powers with him. And if he want to save us, make no mistake about it, he can. Out of thy hand, O king, because you're nothing. If not, but if he won't save us, be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So regardless, whether we saved or not, make no mistake about it, we don't keep the law. We're going to serve some idol, something that can't save us. We dead if we serve it, and we might as well be dead if we don't. Either way, we did. Yah see fit to save us. And this is the message to our people. You dead if you don't keep the Sabbath day. You might as well, you're dead. I know you don't believe it. And some of y'all believe you're dead if you do keep the Sabbath, because you think your family going starve to death. I'm going to feed my family. Well, if you're going to make your decision, my advice, be on the side of Yah and not the side of man. Watch what it says. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Form of his vices was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 and 7 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments. were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. In other words, it went down. It went down. But y'all know the story. Rather go down in the furnace than to go down bringing shame and contempt to the Most High. And if you go down, be a man. And what's a man? According to the scriptures, a man is conclusion of the whole matter. Fear all him and keep his commandment. For this is the whole man. This is what you want to be. A whole man. And lastly, show you this. Because what happens when we find ourselves in other people's lands? See, you should already expect there to be trouble. These people don't know the Most High. These people don't serve the Most High. So why are you trying to run away from trouble? Why are you trying to buck dance your way out of trouble? Trouble is going to happen because you serve the true and living Elohim. And you trying to stay out of trouble by pacifying your enemies, making the Most High your Elohim, your Savior, Yahweh, angry. And all the various decisions you make, let me not wear a beard, knowing you're supposed to. Let me not wear my fringes, knowing you're supposed to. Let me work the Sabbath day, knowing you don't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. It's choices you are making, not, and then you're trying to wonder why Moses is angry and why he said he's turning with his anger. That's scripture. Daniel, the 6th chapter, and this is what it says. 10 verse. Well, let me read that 4 verse. Daniel 6 and 4. And the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In other words, you can be the most perfect man in Babylon, but they're going to find some fault. Why? Because you serve the Creator, the true and living Elohim. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his Elohim. And the presidents, then these presidents and princes assembled together the king and said, thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any Elohim or man for 30 days, and why 30 days? Everybody knowing all through the scripture, you're not going to find no month. 30 days is a month. Why do you think it say 30? You ain't going to find nothing to say, shall I petition of any Elohim or man for 29 days? You're not going to find them like that. Except of me, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing in the decree. Now, we have some people say, look, I'm just not going to pray this month. I'm going to just wait the next month to pray. But not Daniel. Just show you what Daniel did. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house. And his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim as he did aforetime. Was it not the Most High who said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised? And this is what Daniel did. And you got to ask yourself, how long will you continue being an Israelite in the land of your enemies? And you know the time is coming to an end. Continue to pacify enemies when all your enemies have, is, and will do attempt to bring destruction to your lives. And whose side will you be on? Will you be on the side of his laws, his statutes, his judgments? Or will you be on the side of your enemies who has determined, who have confederated, who have consulted to make the name of Israel no more in remembrance? It's up to you. Until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yah, do I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse you. Know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.